Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. A miscalculation by Brookside Apartments is costing some Columbia residents up to $35 per week. The Downtown Leadership Council hosted a public forum Tuesday to discuss parking issues in Columbia. One full-time downtown worker says he has to pay for parking daily now because Brookside residents are taking up all the free spots. Council members say Brookside estimated 25% of their residents would bring cars to Columbia. Vice Chair Brian Treese says that estimate was inaccurate.
If you can afford an $800 per bed monthly unit, your chances are you're bringing a car to college with you. And they even had to go back to the drawing board to add a parking garage.
Councilmember Pat Fowler says the University of Missouri estimates about 63% of enrolled students have cars. One Brookside student says due to the high demand of Brookside's limited parking, its garage charges about $70 per month for a spot. So many students are trying to find parking elsewhere. The council is also seeking public input on traffic and circulation in the city. At the meeting, more than 30 Columbia residents gathered to discuss the issue of pedestrian barriers, one-way streets, and parking issues. The biggest concern of parents is the possibility of Locust and Waugh Streets becoming two-way streets. Lana Cogshaw, a Lee Elementary School parent, says that would be an unsafe option.
I think this would be a safety disaster for our school. There's very little room between the front of our school and the street as it is, and if we have traffic going both ways, I think it would be a huge safety issue.
Besides safety, she says fewer parking spots is another potential result worrying parents.
Right now we have a number of metered spaces, but if they were to make the streets two ways, I think it would eliminate parking on both sides.
She also says that from previous media reports, parents were worried that the proposal was pretty much a done deal.
Most of our Lee parents, from reading the articles, understood that this was a proposal that was going to the city, so they were on the way to making these streets two ways, and it turns out really it's just more of a brainstorming session, so I think we're feeling more confident that our streets are not going to become two ways right away anyway.
At the meeting, Councilmember Pat Fowler said she appreciated parents' involvement and she learned a lot from them. Now, nationally, Congress is bitterly divided on the Farm Bill, but both political parties agree the $5 billion a year farm subsidy called direct and counter-cyclical payments has got to go. The program shells out to farmers and landowners, regardless of need or loss. But Harvest Public Media's Frank Morris reports many farmers feel this government program is, well, giving away the farm.
David McKee raises corn, soybeans, and cattle on the rolling land near Harrisonville, Missouri. Farm policy is not his thing, but he can see why people would be upset about direct payments.
The average working man who is struggling right now, paying his taxes, wonders why are we giving farmers payments for really nothing.
Many Midwestern farmers are wondering the same thing.
Welfare for the farmers, what they call it.
A few miles away, Bill Wendell is cleaning tens of thousands of dollars worth of corn out of a storage bin to make room for the new crop he's about to harvest. He says he doesn't need his direct and countercyclical payment, or DCP. His expenses are huge, but he says this farm is grossing about $1 million a year. Swings in the price of corn and soybeans can quickly cut or boost his income by hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So that little $10,000 DCP payment don't mean nothing.
Well, probably not as important now as it was.
At the Farm Service Agency in Harrisonville, Missouri, the guy in charge, Ron Hiley, says a lot of good farms would have gone under in the late 90s if not for subsidies.
I mean, that's how we made farm payments. That's how we paid for fertilizer. It was kind of the money the farmers made.
And in 1996, a new idea called direct and countercyclical payments was the latest and greatest thing in farm policy.
At the time, and direct payments looked like the best of all possible worlds.
Keith Collins had a great vantage point on the birth of direct payments.
I did. I was chief economist at USDA.
Back then, Collins says, U.S. farm subsidies were breaking international trade rules by prompting farmers to plant so much of this or that, Direct payments came with almost no strings attached.
So they were independent of production. They were not trade distorting. They were consistent with our new WTO obligations, and they could control the budget exposure because they were no longer a variable payment that got very large when prices declined.
On top of all of that, direct payments were supposed to phase out and stop more than a decade ago, heralding a new age free from federal farm subsidies. That didn't happen, partly because Southern farmers growing cotton, rice, and peanuts came to rely more on direct payments. They haven't seen the big gains in crop prices that corn and soybean farmers have, and don't glean as much benefit from federally subsidized crop insurance. Still, Collins says overall farm income has soared, while the federal budget deficit has mushroomed.
I don't think most people expected that direct payments would be made in 2013. But alas, here we are.
It is absurd. It's bad farm policy on autopilot.
Craig Cox with the Environmental Working Group has railed long and hard against the $5 billion a year direct payment subsidy.
It doesn't matter whether farmers are doing well, whether prices are high, prices are low, the cash just flows. And the cash flows to people who aren't even farmers.
That's true. And back at the Farm Service Agency in Harrisonville, Ron Hiley will tell you about it.
So we do quite a bit of business for people that live in the city but own land somewhere else in the United States. Millionaires, ball players, actors, whatever, that own land.
Craig Cox says it just shows that direct payments are benefiting landowners, not necessarily farmers. And he says support for them has all but vanished.
It looks like if we ever get a farm bill done, that direct payments will finally go away. So that's the good news.
The bad news? If Congress can't agree on new farm policy this fall, the outdated, discredited subsidy called direct payments might just survive anyway. Frank Morris, Harvest Public Media.
And that's a wrap for Business Beat this week. Don't forget, you can check out these stories and others at kbia.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening. Shoots of green, peeking up above the winters, casually.